Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour of Sports Talk here on WWL. No parades tonight. All three have been canceled. The details for you online at WWL.com. This hour, we're going to talk to Ali Cosell, BurrRights.com. The Pelicans back in action from the All-Star break tomorrow night against Portland. 27 games remaining for the Pelicans. Do you think, get your crystal ball out, do you think the Pelicans will be in the postseason? Will they make the playoffs? 504-260-1870. I want to say yes, but I haven't seen enough of consistent stretch running plays. In other words, I haven't seen a consistent stretch where they put together great basketball on a number of games to show me that they can make a postseason run. However, the schedule is very favorable for them to do so. Will the Pelicans make the postseason? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. If they don't, are you okay with it, considering the massive overhaul that took place with that organization this offseason? Would they be a year too early? A year ahead of time? You tell me if you'd be okay with it. 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Again, Brandon Ingram's been a positive piece. Zion Williamson coming back from his injury. Can they maintain it, though, in order to get to the postseason? Can they surge a little bit and get to that 8 seed? I think it would be a major victory for them to get to the postseason in year one, considering the rehaul, the overhaul the Pelicans had in the offseason. It'd be a major victory for them, given by what they had to do, trade AD, totally remake the roster. It would be a big win. Do you think they'll get it done? 504-260-1870. Also, our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Do you like the NFL's expansion of the postseason from 12 to 14 teams? It's proposed in a new CBA. Seven from each conference. The one seed, only seed to get a bye. Is it too much emphasis on the one seed? Potentially six playoff games on wild card weekend. You up for that? Text me at 870-870 or call me at 504-260-1870. We'll step away and come back. Your calls are next here on WWL. Getting after the text line, 5810 says, whose butt did you have to kiss to ride in Bacchus? Nothing. My dad called me and said, hey, you want to ride in Bacchus? I said, well, it depends. He said, my treat. I said, sure. You're paying for it? Absolutely, I'll take it. Another one says, the Pelicans are not a playoff team. Furthermore, they will not be one as long as Alvin Gentry is the head coach. I think that's a slightly overrated take. I think that Alvin Gentry certainly is capable of coaching a playoff team. Now, is he coaching a championship caliber team? We might be able to have that discussion. But I don't think it's the coach that would ultimately be the reason as to why they don't make the postseason. Another one says, not a fan of the playoff expansion. I think we already have too many mediocre teams getting into the playoffs undeservedly. It's only going to get worse if we have, if we had two more. We'll end up seeing 6-10 teams in the playoffs. A little bit an over-exaggeration at 6-10, but you very well could see a 7-9, 8-8 team with seven teams. Because last year you'd have seen the 9-7 Rams in the NFC as the 7 seed and the 8-8 Pittsburgh Steelers as the 7 seed in the AFC. So I think you're right. The likelihood of those mediocre 8-8 teams getting into the postseason certainly is driven up. And it also makes it nearly almost half the league that's going to qualify for the postseason. I know that it's extremely difficult for a 6 seed to win out and make it to the Super Bowl. I think the Ravens were the last team to do it, along with maybe the Packers. But I can't imagine a 7 seed under this format making a run all the way to the Super Bowl. It could happen, I guess, but the NFL is trying to solicit more of our hysteria about this game. They're trying to tap into the unbelievable popularity of the NFL. Give us more games to watch on Wild Card Weekend. Most, raise your hand if you're a football junkie, NFL junkie. My hand's high in the sky. They know that we'll watch those games. I do think the expansion does add more weight to the postseason. I don't agree with the texture that says it waters it down. Because now it places a bigger emphasis on getting the one seed, not just the two seed, but the one. So teams might not rest their starters in week 17 because they're set at the two seed. If they feel like they still have a chance at the one seed, they're not going to rest those guys. They're not going to be satisfied with just the two seed. The NFL always wants to make regular season games more important than they currently are. They're hugely important, but towards the back end of the season, the last two games, teams that don't have anything to benefit from in terms of a playoff standing, they rest their starters. While the NBA has load management, the NFL is trying to prevent load management, honestly, by adopting this new 7-team from each conference playoff format, 14 in all. Overall, I think the good outweighs the bad, and it's a concession that the owners are going to use in the collective bargaining agreement. Okay, players, see, we didn't ask for an 18-game regular season. We asked for a 7-team format in each conference, which is going to give the players more opportunities to make more money and more revenue. And we want a 17-game regular season. It's going to be seen as, hey, this is our concession that we're willing. See, look at us. Look at us, players. See how good we are? We're making a concession right out of the gate. We just want a 17-game regular season schedule and 14 teams to make the playoffs, which, by the way, benefits you guys as players because it gives you guys an opportunity to make more money, more of the revenue sharing, more money as playoff bonuses. That's how they're going to spend this. That's what they do. And here's the thing about the next collective bargaining agreement. I know Zach and Deuce might shake their head. They might even tell me I'm wrong. But these owners are skilled negotiators, shrewd businessmen and women. That's why they've become billionaires, because they pretty much can win every negotiation they're in. And it'll be no different from the CBA that they sign with the players. The players are going to get some things, sure. But the large part of the CBA is going to benefit the players more so, or benefit the owners more so than it will the players. That's just a fact. The owners own the league. They own the teams. They're going to make the most money. They're going to have a bigger share of the revenue pie. They're not going to give that to the players. The NBA, however, does. The NBA, the players' union in the NBA, is way more powerful than that of the NFL. They run the NFL Players Association, the NBA Players Association, excuse me, runs the NBA. Not so much in the NFL. But that's what they're going to do. The owners are going to say, see, we wanted an 18-game regular season. You guys didn't want that. So let's settle on a 17-game regular season, a 3-game preseason, and we add one team in each conference to make the postseason. Isn't that grand? Isn't that great? Look at what we've done for you. Look at what we've done for the players. Oh, by the way, we're going to ask for X amount more on the revenue sharing pie. And we're not going to really be willing to, because I can promise you the players are going to want some more revenue. But they're also going to, I think there's going to be a section of them, not all of them, there's going to be some that want less control from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. I would think that would be a futile effort on their part, because if you go break down the NFL and the 16 to 1800 players, what, 10% of them actually have any contact with Roger Goodell on a negative basis in terms of discipline? So I think the vast majority of the players' union is going to look at that and say, that's really not an issue for us. For us that are up here on the top of the mountain that don't get in trouble. We're not going to sacrifice something that we really want in the CBA just to get the power away from Roger Goodell. They're willing to live with that. Most players are willing to live with that because the guys like Zach Strief, Drew Brees, Marcus Colston, Ben Watson, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas, Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead, you name it. Those are the guys that aren't going to ever really have a run-in with the commissioner. So they're not going to be that worried about any kind of concession relative to his power. The players are going to go after the revenue sharing, retirement benefits, health care benefits, the marijuana testing policy, which I think has been a joke for a long time in the NFL. But you're going to see, I think, the NFL come off of that like other leagues have, where they don't even test them, because I think they recognize that there is some medicinal use for those players that are banged up. What if it helps them heal faster, week to week? As a league, they've already embraced gambling. What's next? They're going to embrace the legalization of marijuana, or at least they're going to put it on. They're going to take it off the banned substance list. The way, if you're not familiar with how the policy works currently, basically, unless you're in the failed substance program, you get tested in OTAs and right before training camp. You don't get tested during the season. You just don't. So it's a policy that ultimately doesn't have a whole lot of teeth anyway. So they're going to remove that. But what the league really wants is more games. Why do they want more games? Because we consume it. We've proven that. We will consume more and more and more football. Look around the calendar year. Got the combine starting on Sunday. We will watch that. Now, not everybody will, but a good part of the NFL chunk will watch it. Certain parts of it, some start to finish. Some of the junkies will. Some of the draft junkies that are obsessed with it will watch it start to finish and have a scouting report of their own made up on each one of those guys that were in attendance at the scouting combine. They'll do it. After the combine, what do you have? NFL free agency, right? Another must-watch TV, must-listen-to radio. Who's signing with who? Who got traded? Who's not signing with who? Who got franchise tagged? Who got tendered as a first-round compensation as a restricted free agent? All those things that NFL knows fans consume. They've already consumed the calendar pretty much every month out of, except for maybe June, even though you got mini camps, parts of July. But they own the calendar. They own 12 months out of the year practically. Say 11 months and 2 weeks. 11 months and a week, they pretty much own. After free agency, you got the NFL draft. The buildup takes 3 weeks. In between the draft and free agency, you have the NFL schedule release. Then you've got rookie minicamps. The start of the offseason program starts in March. Then you got the rookie minicamps along with the veteran OTAs. And then the mandatory minicamp in June. Get the point here? It's no wonder why the NFL is proposing the expansion of the playoffs, because they recognize one thing, and one thing that's very, very important to them. There's an audience for it. We will pay for it. We will tune in on the networks. We'll pay for it to go to a game and visit it and watch it in person and spend $8 on a hot dog and $10 on a beer. We just will. That's how popular that game is, in particular here in the Gulf South, across from Texas, all the way to the panhandle of Florida, parts of Georgia. They will consume the product. That's why they're expanding, to increase the salary cap as well. And that's something that the players are going to go, oh, salary cap increase. That means I can ask for more of the pie. I can ask for bigger contracts. That's ultimately, like it or not, that's how these players think, because that's the business that they're in. That's the industry that they're in. They're in a profession that pays them this amount of money, X amount of dollars for a premium running back, a premium quarterback, a premium receiver. That's market value. And a good businessman, which they are, which they should be, businessmen, is going to get market value. So if they raise the salary cap by increasing the number of playoff games and regular season games, that's what's going to be attracted to the players. They're going to say, we are going to expose ourselves to a higher risk of injury, but man, look at the money that we could make if we don't get injured. The risk is worth it. That's how the players are going to look at it. How much revenue will they get? The TV revenue continues to spike, as the salary cap does. That increases the share, the amount of money that the players can get. This is not all that difficult to arrive at and determine if you're the players. It's just not. If you're the fans, you can see why. The popularity is unbelievable, even with officiating being at an all-time low. It's still a very popular game. All right, we'll step away and come back. Ali Cosell, the BurrRights.com, next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, my pleasure to welcome in now Ollie Cosell, editor-in-chief of TheBirdRights.com. Ollie, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great, Christian. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Hey, what's your favorite thing about Carnival?
Oof, man, I can't pick one.
Maybe are you a big 10, Carnival guy?
Not one. Not in the last couple of years because I've been out of town too much. But previously, it was, of course, just enjoying the parades, spending a whole day, Saturday and Sunday, doing nothing.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, Ollie, is I don't know. I've been to countless Mardi Gras, right? And I still, I guess what's attractive for me about it is there's these fleeting moments where I still feel like a kid occasionally watching it. You know what I mean? Like I'm in awe of it, production of it, and how it all goes down. I just think that's the neat part about it. I'm 41 years old, and it gives me the ability to feel like I'm 10 sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Reliving some of your favorite memories. And I haven't had the privilege of living in New Orleans my whole life. I didn't move down here until I was about 25. So I don't have what you've got in your mind. But I'll tell you what, I've made up for it since then.
Well done. Ollie, let's get to the Pelicans. They're back in action out of the All-Star break tomorrow against Portland. I want you to give me the reason why – two things. The reason why the Pelicans will make the postseason this year and why they won't make the postseason.
All right, the harder one of the two is, of course, them making it. You know, sitting 5.5 games out, it was tough they didn't get that OKC one right before the break. But look, they've got a chance, I feel like, to go 5-1 here. Portland tomorrow, Damian Lillard. The only two tough matchups in these next six games are the Lakers. If they could just beat them once, the rest of the guys are really cupcakes. So they could get off to a great start, and you ride that momentum to where over the last 15 games, you're only playing one playoff caliber team. So you get off to a great start now. I feel like you can ride that momentum. And, of course, you know, you're going to coast to a nice winning at least two-thirds of your games. That could be enough because Memphis, they're going to struggle. Portland looks like they're going to struggle without Damian Lillard. Memphis, because they don't have an easy schedule. They've got the toughest, and they're a bunch of rookies. On the flip side, you don't see them making it for all the reasons I think I've just mentioned, right? If they don't get off to a good start, all it takes is one injury, one slump, a couple of bad games. And all of a sudden, you lose like 2, 3, 4 games that you should have won. And when you think about this, Pelicans are 5.5 out. Say the Grizzlies finish 14-14. That means the Pelicans need to go 20-7 just to catch up and beat them by a game.
Ollie Cosell, editor-in-chief of TheBirdRights.com. What is your – okay, so now you laid those out. What do you think will happen? The Pelicans get close? They don't come close at all? Or they end up punching their ticket to the postseason?
I think they're going to come close. I'm not one of the guys that's waving like it's 50-50 type of odds. I think it's more like 30% just because we know how it normally works, right, Christian? 30 games is still a lot, right? It's 27, but let's just say 30 for argument's sake, and anything can happen in those 30 to where I can only remember once, and that was just 2 years ago, where the Pelicans really finished strong just to eke into the playoffs, where they relied on a 10-game winning streak. Then they won 6 in a row to get in, which, of course, turned into another 10-game winning streak when they swept the Blazers. So it's going to be that type of, I feel like, achievement they're going to require, right, to get in, just to squeak in. And it's just hard to imagine, which just so rarely happens in history.
Ollie, when you know this, you know, this is your wheelhouse. When you hear that Alvin Gentry is the reason why the Pelicans won't make the postseason, what is your reaction to that?
Well, I first laugh, and then I usually look at the source, and it's a bad argument because all they point to is win-loss record, right? Look, I've been around Alvin now for better part of 2.5, almost 3 years. And this guy knows how to coach. His whole staff knows how to coach. And we've seen how they can develop players. And we've seen when guys are healthy. And he's got the guys that, you know, can play in the system that are league caliber type of players. He wins. The problem is it just hasn't happened nearly enough. And so everybody's pointing to that. So I really just laugh it off at this point. There's no sense in getting mad. You're not going to change too many people's minds, Christian. You know this. Any sport, people relate it to just the easiest, most basic of simple explanations. And for Alvin, it's always going to be his losing record. It's always going to be against him.
Yeah, it's always fire the coach, fire the quarterback, or in this case, you know, the big star on the team, move him along, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I've dealt with it plenty on the Saints side of things. Ollie, so if the Pelicans ultimately do not make the playoffs, I guess what would be the reasonable expectation of what they'll want to focus on in the offseason? Where do they need to get better?
Well, I think they still need to figure that out, but I have a feeling that they've already kind of know, of course, Brandon Ingram's going to get re-signed to the max. Forget all the silliness you guys may have heard this morning where ESPN listed as probably one of the 9 chaotic things that could happen this offseason. No, Brandon Ingram's probably going to get the max, and if he doesn't sign the max, that means he relinquished some of that money for David Griffin to address other issues, which there are on this roster, right? You can only pencil in Zion Williamson next to B.I., and I think Lonzo. Lonzo's pretty safe. I love what he's come out with lately, and I've got a piece published in tomorrow where I detail how great this kid's look. But other than those three, yeah, I mean, you've got Drew Holiday, you've got all the veterans, right? That's the thing. You want to bring back all these veterans. You want to give this another run because this year, of course, they got sideswiped. No Zion forever. Derek Favors wasn't looking like himself for almost the first 40 games. So I feel like it is a 50-win team, Christian. I'm in favor of him bringing most of these vets back. J.J. Redick wants to be here. Drew Holiday wants to be here. They just need to re-sign Derek Favors. Let's say he gets a 2-year contract. And then you run it back with all these rookies who seem to really be grown before our eyes, right? I mean, when have you seen Zion Williamson, a kid, just play 10 games, overwhelm the NBA? Like I said, we've seen the improvements from Brandon Ingram. He's a 25-point score and NBA All-Star for the first time. And like I said, Lonzo's really improved. So I think there are a lot of pieces already there, Christian. So I don't want no major overhaul for sure. You just got to tweak it a little bit here and there.
So far through 10 games, is Zion, has he exceeded your expectations?
Easily, right? It has to be easily. He has, without a jump shot, without knowing any defense, probably not understanding hardly any of his schemes or strategies, is putting up a double-double almost every game and scoring over 20 points in most of those games. That's unheard of, right? For a guy that's relying really on just his athleticism and his instincts to go up against the best, and he's flat-out pretty much dominated most nights. So that is not something you see. You don't even see how the most polished are rookies. So I've been impressed. I don't know how anybody could not be impressed.
Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief for thebirdwrites.com. Looking ahead to the start of the second half of the season for the New Orleans Pelicans, coming off the All-Star break there in action tomorrow night against Portland. And, Ali, what's been, the biggest pleasant surprise of this Pelicans team?
I think it's the fact that the Anthony Davis trade, David Griffin said he was just hoping to get one star back. I think the Pelicans legitimately have three young guys, and we're not even counting the draft picks, three young guys that are going to be a big part of this future core. Of course, that's Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, and Josh Hart.
What's been the biggest disappointment?
It has to be, you got to point it at the injuries, right? I mean, when this team's healthy, the starting lineup, they're good. All the numbers say it, your eyes say it. It's just the fact that why can't for once the Pelicans just trot out the starters for 70-plus games together?
Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief of thebirdwrites.com. Ali, every once in a while I throw a curveball at you, and I know you're a fan of not just basketball, but you certainly watch the NFL. I don't know if you've heard, but the NFL wants to expand the postseason from 6 teams in each conference to 7 in each conference, ultimately putting 14 teams in the postseason. As a football consumer, what do you think about that?
I don't like it. I don't think you need to water down the product, because I'll be honest, those first week of games, those wild card games, usually aren't that good. Nobody really cares, right, until you get to the conference finals and, of course, the actual Super Bowl. So I'm not a fan of it. That's just adding more wear and tear on these guys that can barely make it through a season already.
I disagree with you. I'm all about, give me 6 football games to watch on Wild Card Weekend. I will be there on my couch, and I will not get up until the last game is played and goes final. That's just who I am. I'm just kind of a junkie. I want to see as much of it as I can, but it'll be fascinating to see if it works. Ali, one of the things that you can also talk about is the CBA in particular. I've said that this is the owner's way, the NFL owner's way of saying, okay, players, we're not asking for the 18-game regular season anymore, but we're going to get you another postseason shot, more money, and that's basically like a concession for them. Right off the bat, the owners are going, see what we're doing? We're conceding right away.
Yeah, and I guess I can see your valid point right there. I think it just opens up a whole can of worms that nobody's really explored yet. So I'm just leery, of any time. I remember when baseball has watered down competition at first. You know, the wild card is mixed reviews still, just a one playoff game. And same thing with the NBA, when they used to play 7 games in the first rounds versus 5. So there's been a lot of different arguments for just adding a game here and there. And usually it hasn't panned out well.
I know what I wanted to ask you now that we're talking about it. It was, if you can change one thing, a rule or something in the CBA with the NBA, what would you like to change?
Ooh, I'll tell you what, I fell in love with that All-Star game, right, where they turned off the shot clock and you had basically a score to get to. I don't think I've ever seen anything that competitive barely in regular season games. So I think that if you can somehow incorporate that to where you're not stopping play, a timeout here, a timeout there, to where last 3 minutes of a game seemingly goes on for half an hour. If you could avoid that and keep that level of intensity up, the crowd doesn't have to, you know, take breaks every 5 seconds, I think that would be incredible.
Yeah, Ali, I've never really been bothered by the pace of play in the NBA. I mean, the games are, you know, 220, 215, 230. I think that's right on par with what their target demo is in terms of who they want consuming these games, and it also appeals to the millennials as well. I think that that's something that the NFL is ultimately trying to do, is get faster, and I think the XFL is showing people that they, you can play that game at a little faster pace. So I'm with you. I'd like to see it even faster, but I'm okay with the current pace of play, but I'll defer to you when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the thing that happens, Christian, is usually that's when the superstar calls happen, right? That's where the James Hardens beat the New Orleans Pelicans, stuff like that. So I've seen it too many. I've been on the wrong end too many times. So I that's why I'm arguing against it.
So let's go NBA real quick, across the NBA right now. Give me the dark horse to keep an eye on in both the Western and Eastern conferences.
Well, in the East, I don't know how you cannot like what Toronto's doing. I mean, they had just recently won 15 games in a row. Nobody thought that they'd be any kind of threat with Kawhi Leonard going, of course, west to the Clippers. But look, outside the Milwaukee Bucks, there is no clear number two out there. Some people thought it was Boston Celtics, but, you know, Kemba's a little hurt, and then they've been up and down. Same thing with the Miami Heat. So I think if anybody, Toronto could surprise some people because they play harder than any team out there, I feel like, in the league consistently. As for the West, you know, that's a tough one, but I'm going to go with a team that I thought at the beginning of the season had a real good chance of surprising people and going to the finals, and that's the Utah Jazz. They're finally putting their stuff together. Mike Conley's kind of back and healthy. When you've got Rudy Gobert, who I know come the playoffs, he kind of becomes irrelevant at times. I just feel like they have enough shooting there with Bogdanovich, Joe Ingles, and they've got Conley, and, of course, Donovan Mitchell. I think that team could surprise a lot of people, including both L.A. teams.
Ali, be honest with me here. Have you ever elbowed your way to a Mardi Gras beat or two?
Oh, heck yeah. Are you kidding me? I felt bad when it was somebody half my size.
Hey, whatever it takes to get those beats, just don't take it away from kids. If it's another adult,
no,
it's fair
exactly.
game.
Yeah, but have you ever – okay, here's one for you then. Have you ever – where you got something, but then you wanted that one so much you gave the kid something else off of whatever you had?
No, I've never done that. Typically what I usually do – look, I'm always at parades with my kids, but in the rare occasion where I'm watching it with adults, if there's a kid nearby and it's a really good throw, it's a really neat throw, and the throw might have even been intended somewhat in that direction, then I'm typically gonna hand that to the kid. Look – I don't want any more beads in my house. I don't want them cluttering up anymore.
You don't need another box, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm done with that. Ali, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, Christian.
All right, there he goes. Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief for thebirdrights.com. Check him out there at thebirdrights.com. Good stuff covering the New Orleans Pelicans. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is Sports Talk on WWL. You know what else the NFL players are going to want in the latest round of CBA, the collective bargaining agreement? If they're going to expand the season to 17 regular season games and expand the playoffs from 12 to 14 teams, 6 in each conference to 7 in each conference, the players are going to lobby for an expanded roster. Both regular season, you know, active roster from 53 to 60, and I think from game day roster from 46 to 50, 46 to 51. They'll go for that because that means more jobs across the NFL. That means that's positive for them. They're always trying to look out what's best for the players. That's a way they're going to try to do so. That's something they're going to work hard, I think, for with the counter, you know, to the owners proposing a 17-game regular season and an expanded playoffs. Okay, well, we're playing more games. Well, we're going to need more bodies. We're going to need more jobs. So expand the active roster from 53 to 60, and you expand the game day roster from 46 to anywhere from 50 to 52. I think the players will go for that. A text here at 870-870. Maybe the NFL should spend some time on some of that extra money they would make with the extra playoff games on full-time refs. Here's why they won't. As much as we think it's a big deal down here, it's not across the National Football League. that same sentiment that we have about the officiating, I don't think is shared across the country, at least not at a good enough or strong enough volume. The NFL is not going to care. Until they look and see that they're what matters, believe it or not, the attendance in these games, that's a small drop in the bucket. What matters? What matters? TV revenue, network revenue. When their ratings slide because of NFL officiating, they'll care. It hasn't happened. It's probably not going to happen because there's not enough that ultimately care about the officiating and understand the impact that officials have had on their teams. Unless the NOLA no call happens to 31 other teams, the rest of the NFL fan base cities are not going to care that much as we care about it. That's just a fact. The NFL is not going to just overextend themselves and have full-time officials because of their perception that they have an inconsistency in their officiating program. And I know, I get it. Don't yell and scream at me. I agree. They need full-time officials. I want them to. But the owners are not going to go for it because they're trying to reduce the overhead, what they're going to have to pay, right? And increase their profit margin. That's what any business is about. Keep your overhead down and your profit high. Don't let the overhead start creeping up with the profit. That's their way of keeping full-time officials out of the league. They're not going to make it happen. They don't care enough to make it happen. Because, like I said, it's not a big enough issue for Baltimore, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, Charlotte, Atlanta, Tampa Bay. I could go on and on. It's not a big enough issue in Arizona. The officiating, the consistency, or lack thereof consistency in those fan bases to really make a dent in the popularity of the NFL. It's a really, really small, almost scratch that you can buff out of a car. Just get a little car new paint, a little buff it out. No big deal. That's the way they look at it. It's not a big priority to them. It might be a priority to us, but not to the NFL. Full-time officials, I think we're a good, 15, 20 years away from that actually happening. Because the track record of the NFL shows you, if you followed it closely, they're not proactive, they're reactive. They always have been, and they will be, as long as this game is as popular as it is. If they see their revenue drop, their TV revenue numbers drop, their ratings drop, then they'll start having those conversations. They'll have them now, but it's kind of like we'll do it just to appease you, just to satisfy you, pacify you, however you want to describe it. They're not serious about any of that. That's not going to matter in their CBA whatsoever. And the players have too many other things that they're worried about than whether the officiating is consistent enough. They view that as a league problem. That's a league office, front office of the league, 401 Park Avenue, 400 Park Avenue problem. Not a individual player. If I'm a 2 or 3 year guy in the NFL, do I want to increase my potential earnings or do I want to devote a lot of my resources to getting better officiating? I'm trying to maximize my earnings. They don't care about the lack of transparency and the lack of consistency in officiating when it boils down to, am I going to make more money in this next CBA? If the answer to that is yes, I don't care about the officiating. Might seem crude, but that's the fact. That's how these guys think. It just is. It's the industry that makes them think that way. Text here at 870-870. New Orleans is always on the bad end of officiating crews or calls. Be careful about always. I get it here lately. It seems like we've had our fair share, but I don't want to say always. They've had a lot of good crews and good officiating calls that have kind of happened to the Saints. In a way, it has a way of balancing out. I don't know, though, that we'll ever have a call that'll balance out the no call that happened in the NFC title game. Coming up next hour, you will hear from Saints head coach Sean Payton. Me and Bobby sat down with him yesterday. You'll hear that in its entirety. A lot of good stuff coming from the Saints head coach, including Taysom Hill's future. Drew Brees on a comeback tour, if you will. Coming back for another year. What he means to the Saints team. along with the collective bargaining agreement, the new Zebra technology, all that and more from Saints head coach Sean Payton. And it's next here on WWL.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.